Well, thank the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, He is good to us. I just think it's wonderful that, you know, we can breathe that holy name in prayer. And, oh my, He hears and He responds. It's a wonderful privilege that we have as Christians. Oh, yes, to be His children. And, oh, yes, to know Him as our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. We are blessed. And it's good to be here tonight. Amen. It's good to sing the praises of the Lord. Oh, He has done so much for us, and we could never tell it all, that's for sure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask the Lord to have His way to help us. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again that we can come here together. Oh, Lord, that we have this privilege, that we have this place. Oh, we have these moments that You've given us. You've given us the strength to be here tonight, Lord, and the opportunity. Oh, Lord, we thank You, Jesus. And, oh, God, we don't fully understand how privileged we are. But, oh, God, we know that Thou hast done mighty things in redeeming us and saving our souls. And, oh, God, we know that we could never thank You enough, Lord. But, oh, God, we do give You the praise. We do give You the glory. Oh, God, we just thank You, God, that You reached down and You found us. Oh, God, You caught us. Oh, Lord, oh, God, in spite of our sin and, oh, God, all our trouble, Lord Jesus. And, oh, God, all the big disgrace that we were to Thee, Lord. Oh, God, I thank You, Jesus. And I thank You, Lord, that we can be here tonight. I pray that You would work in our hearts. I pray, oh God, that You would call tonight. I pray, oh God, that You'd strengthen us, Lord. Oh God, that You'd help us, Lord. Let the devil be rebuked in all his devices. Oh God, let Your Spirit have its way in our hearts. Oh God, open up our hearts that we might perceive, that we might understand, that we might draw near to You, that we might equip ourselves, oh Lord, to be in Thy presence. Oh, God, You know the need, and I pray that You would talk here tonight. I pray that You'd use this message. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You would call tonight. Oh, Lord, and oh, God, that You would strengthen Your people, Lord. Oh, God, for we need strength that comes from You. We need Thy hope. We need Thy promises. I pray that You would talk, that You would comfort, that You'd give us faith, that You'd help us to work, oh, God, while it is yet day, and to go forward and to do Your will, Lord. Oh, God, You know all these things, Lord. I pray that You'd give me a mouth to speak, and, oh, God, that You would bring out what needs to be brought out. Oh, God, You know every detail. You know every need. And I pray, oh, God, that You'd reach down and meet the needs. And, oh, God, talk to hearts. Oh, God, help us to respond. Help us to be open to You. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord, for this marvelous, oh, God, thing that You've done for us. And bringing us here, oh God, giving us this opportunity to hear Your living word, we ask that You'd bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Amen. He's helped us in so many ways. And you know, I think we all love the little things that the Lord does, how He just shows us that He's with us, those reassurances that He gives us. I mentioned this to some of you, I guess it's probably you online that maybe haven't heard this, but last week I did have some opportunities to do a few things, and anyway, I thought it was a marvel, for one thing, that day, how the Lord worked. But you know, we were just actually standing here in the church, Diane and Jane and Anna and myself, and we were thinking of leaving, and you know, all at once the knock on the door, and it was the UPS man, I believe, or one of those fellows, and anyway, you know, he had a package or packages, and I just thought the timing was just, you know, a blessing, because we could have all been gone, and I don't know what he would have done with the packages or all that sort of thing. But, you know, I thank the Lord, and, you know, I marveled. And then, you know, it just seemed I went to Madison after that and had gone to the co-op, and bought what I needed there and was coming back and thinking that I was going to stop at this store called Hy-Vee's in Madison also. I had only been there one other time, and it had been a few years ago, and I wasn't quite sure just where to turn. But anyway, I just have it in my heart to do this, and I just made my way over to the far right lane, anticipating a turn at some point, and, you know, just asked the Lord to let me know just, you know, when it was time for me to turn. And it was so amazing because, you know, within seconds, I believe, or certainly a minute or two, I glanced in front of me. I saw it anyway, but all at once I realized that there was a truck in front of me, and it said Hy-Vee's on it. And it was a delivery truck. And, you know, I just had this feeling that it was going back to Hy-Vee's. And I just thought that was just such a marvel. I know it's not a huge thing, but, you know, that's our God and how He works with us and how He leads the way. And you know, He has everything timed. Sometimes we fret, sometimes we worry, sometimes we don't see how certain things are ever going to work out or certain things are ever going to happen. And, you know, we can ponder it and we can worry and, you know, and just not know how to think at times. But I love it how God does reassure us to know that He's always on time and that He is with us. And you know, He knows how to make the connections and how to get us where we need to go. I think it was around that same day, too. I know it was last week also. My daughter Victoria, too, she was telling me on Sunday that she'd been walking and noticed this cat, and it was kind of in a funny place, and you know, it just somehow came to her attention, and she realized it was her neighbor's cat, and it obviously had gotten loose, and here it had wandered away, and here it was sort of stuck in the bushes, or anyway, just peering at her. It didn't know her. And anyway, you know, she's able to rescue the cat, you know, and bring it back to its owner. And you know, again, she was marveling at the timing there, because if she hadn't been going that way just at that moment, you know, the cat could have wandered Lord knows where, been far from that point. But again, that's the Lord watching for us and going before us, the good shepherd, you know, that leads the way. And you know, it's just, again, these little things that He does for us, they help us. Oh, help us to know that He is with us and that, you know, He sees, He knows our predicaments and He knows our needs and He hears our cries. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The message that I want to bring forth tonight is going to be called Time to Seek the Lord. And as we began here to study, I would just like us to go here to some familiar scripture here in Isaiah 55 here to begin. Isaiah chapter 55. And these few verses here, starting with verse 6. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." And I just thank God for this admonishment. But oh, how necessary it is to give heed to it. Those very important words where it says in verse 6, to seek ye the Lord. And then that clause, while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And yes, the next verse talking about the necessity to forsake one's way. The wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, all those things that brew inside the human mind. And all those wicked ways that people involve themselves in. But oh yes, when the Lord finds us, oh yes, there is that dire need to forsake those ways. And oh yes, give one's attention over to the ways of the Lord, to return unto the Lord. And thank God, you know, there's a promise right here that He will have mercy upon him. And that is phenomenal when we think of it, because why would God have to be mindful of us? Why would he have to care? Oh, you know, he hates sin. And he hates those wicked ways. But yet, if a person, an individual, would turn from those wicked ways and those unrighteous thoughts, God has mercy. And yes, that promise that he will abundantly pardon. Oh, praise the Lord. That is so reassuring and so wonderful to know. Praise the Lord. I want to go now to also to Acts the 17th chapter for a few verses also. And here we're just going to cover that little bit of time when Paul was in Athens. And oh yes, he had gone up to Mars Hill. And yes, if we go to verse 22, we could see what Paul said when he saw those Athenians there on Mars Hill. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, declare I unto you.'" And he begins to declare, God, to these people, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Well, he's the creator. He's the one that made us. And, you know, what does he need? You could ask. And it tells us in verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation." And then this telling verse, verse 27, "And oh yes, God's great desire that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 29, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Oh, praise the Lord. That is at least in part what he told those that had gathered there on Mars Hill there. And if you can imagine the scene of the city there as he went up that hill, and obviously all those idols that were laid out and designated to this god and to that god, and lo and behold, he found one that had no name except to the unknown God. And praise the Lord, he was able to expound to those that would hear, oh, their great need to seek the Lord. Just to seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him. You know, that's the greatest thing that can happen to the individual, believe it or not. That, oh yes, God might become real to you. You know, that you might feel after him and find him. And the reality of it is that he be not far from every one of us. He's here. He's a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. If we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. He's everywhere, being God, seeing all things, hearing all matters, knowing all incidents. Oh, you know, and just seeing every individual. And praise the Lord if an individual will reach out to the living God. Oh, yes, he's not far. He's right there. He's right there to hear that cry. Oh, yes, and to intervene in that life. And that's a wonderful thing. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to acknowledge. And oh, we can praise the Lord if we have been in that place where we can feel after God and we can find him, or we have found him. It's a wonderful thing. He's not far from anyone. And praise the Lord, he hears that cry. Oh, praise the Lord, he hears that cry. I don't know, I know Brother Matthew, when he was here, you know, I just marvel. He had such a testimony of how he found the Lord. You know, he was in a desperate way. He was in great straits. And, you know, he was definitely contemplating committing suicide. And, you know, it was just a cry from the heart. He didn't have knowledge of how to find God. He didn't even have a Bible. He didn't have somebody there to direct him. But he cried out to the living God. Oh, God, if you're real, then please hear me. Oh God, if you're there, please have mercy on me. And you know, I don't know exactly how he cried, but I know one thing, God heard him. God intervened in his life. And you know, just down the road a little bit, somebody gave him some materials for Last Trumpet Ministry. And you know, we were privileged to have that summer with him as he was here helping us. And yes, seeing him baptized and, yes, working with him and Bible study and all that sort of thing. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing. You know how God hears those cries and how he reaches down. Oh, yes, to save. Oh, yes, to bring out, you know, to redeem. And, you know, a lot of times without a lot of knowledge. But praise the Lord, we are here tonight to open up the Word of God and to gain knowledge, to gain direction. Oh, yes, and if you have not yet got to that place where you have found the Lord, or he has found you, so to speak, you know, praise the Lord, he's right here. He's right here to intervene, to change you, to give you hope. Oh, yes, to take you out of the desperateness of sin and to redeem your soul and to bring you to that place that you've never been, where you have hope and you know the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know our God. Praise the Lord. Let's turn now to Psalms 119 for a little bit here. Psalms 119. And I'm not going to read this whole psalm, but we are going to just read a few verses here. Verse 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Verse 2 says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Oh, praise the Lord. Just pausing here a moment. But I thank God that He has made a way to redeem us. And oh yes, how we can give those nasty things over to God so that we can say that we are undefiled in the way and we can walk in the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord that He puts within us, the law that is written in His Word. And oh yes, the blessing of those that keep His testimonies and yes, that seek Him with the whole heart. Oh, you know, I know there are times that people make this, you know, half-hearted call to God. But I think the Lord is expecting a little bit more. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, it is written, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." And verse 13 is so revealing. Oh, God's expectation, and oh, God's heartbeat. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Oh, yes, when that desperate need, oh, comes to the forefront, and you know within your very being that more than anything else in this world, you need Jesus. Oh, yes, that's the kind of cry that He looks to. Oh, yes, them that seek Him with a whole heart. And how He begins to, oh, turn our life around. And, oh, yes, as we have realization that we need to repent and turn those wicked, ugly things over to God, He forgives us, doesn't He? Oh, yeah, so that we don't have to walk in sin. We don't have to do iniquity. We don't have to walk in those old ways and live as that willful, sinful individual that we once were. Instead, we can keep His precept, His ways, His laws. He puts them within us, in our hearts. It's why He gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost, so that we might walk in His ways and we might have that voice of the Holy Ghost speaking to us continually, guiding and directing us and helping us. Oh, yes. And the cry, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep my statutes." Oh, you know, when the Lord begins to work in us, that's what we want to do more than anything else. Not to transgress. Not to live in sin. Not to do abominable things. No, God forbid. We don't want to walk in those ways. Oh, because He's going to direct our steps and change us so that we can walk in His ways. Put off the old man and thank the Lord we can go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And oh yes, that great hope that, oh, when we see Him, we're not going to be ashamed. Oh my, because those sins that were so heavy upon us have been blotted out by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has forgiven our transgressions. Oh yes, He has taken them away from us when we committed them to Him and gave them over to Him and repented of them. And praise the Lord, yes, we don't have to be ashamed, therefore, when we stand before God. And oh yes, we have respect unto all Thy commandments. And yes, that praise that comes forth. Oh yes, He's done so much for us. Oh, how could we ever tell it all? You know, He's taken our sins away. How could we ever tell it enough? How could we ever share it enough? Oh, praise the Lord. So we can praise Him with the uprightness of heart when we have learned of His righteousness. Oh yes, when He's come into our life and we've been converted, when we've been changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, "I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Oh, we never want to be forsaken by the Lord. We want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Amen. And just a couple more verses here in this 119th Psalm. Verse 9 asks the big question here. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? You know, that is a big question. I could paraphrase it just a little bit by saying, how can I be right with God? And you know, there's an answer here. It says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh yes, these words that are written here in this holy Bible are words of life. Oh, praise the Lord. They are words that can redeem us from our sins and lead us in the way everlasting. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Again, you see that need to cry out with all the being. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, it's not just kind of wanting to find God. But you know, when we realize the great need that we have, how we are lost, how we are condemned, how we are separated from God. Oh my, there needs to be that cry that comes from our whole heart, our whole being, to seek the Lord. Oh, to find the answer to life. Oh yes, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11. It says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that word of life that we want to commit to our memory as much as possible. Because, oh yes, it directs us. It helps us to know what is right and what is wrong. You know, if we know the word of God, we're going to know what is right. And, you know, we're going to be able to discern when we read something else that's incorrect and not patterned after God's ways. We're going to be able to discern when, you know, some individual from a pulpit declares something that's not words of life. Praise the Lord. So, oh, by His grace and mercy, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's the last thing somebody that's walking with the Lord wants to do, to sin against God. And oh, praise the Lord, if we put that living word in our heart, then oh yes, it's going to direct us, it's going to help us. It's going to help us to know too when we got in trouble or we goofed up a little bit, and all at once, you know, oh wow, we know we've got to get it right. We've got to turn to the Lord and ask Him to forgive. Praise the Lord. He is gracious to do so. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. But oh, I thank the Lord. He made a way that we could find Him. Oh, and we search with all our hearts. You know, we can find the living God, the creator of the universe. Oh, we can be cleansed from our sin and from our iniquity. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles now, and just I guess maybe you have a little bit of a history lesson here perhaps, but I think, wow, there's so much that it declares here. I did write a few things on this chalkboard. I just want to make it clear, you know, just to kind of show you where we are here in the scripture. We know that, you know, as far as the kingship was concerned there in Israel, you know, Saul of course was the first king, and I imagine most of us are aware of his story and how David became king. And you know, because David walked in the ways of the Lord, it had been promised him that God would never take the kingship from his family, from his heritage. And praise the Lord, his son Solomon became king after David. But we know that after David's 40 years, that there was trouble. Rehoboam, his son, became king, but there was civil war. And the kingdom of Israel was split at that point. And the two southern kingdoms became what is known as Judah, consists of Benjamin and Judah. And then the 10 northern tribes became known as Israel. But it was split. And, you know, it wasn't really going to recover from that. And, of course, you know, eventually the seed of David is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that kingship did not continue in the natural sense, as far as that all goes. But here in our lesson tonight, we're going to be talking about Asa. And so Rehoboam was king for this period of time, and then his son Abijah was king for a short time. And now, as we go here to 2 Chronicles, we're going to read of Asa, who was king of Judah at this point. Praise the Lord. So if we look here at 2 Chronicles chapter 14, it tells us in verse 1, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And it tells us, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places, and broke down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, Let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord, our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered." Well, here we have quite, you know, a good testimony for sure. These are the first 10 years of Asa's kingship here, and, you know, he's doing things that please the Lord. And this certainly is not to be said of all the kings that, you know, reigned after him and even before him. And, of course, the kings of Israel, those 10 northern tribes, they were all wicked. But here, he's doing the things that please the Lord and getting rid of all the things that are abominations in the sight of God, breaking down those altars of the strange gods and the high places that they had erected to worship those strange gods, and all the images that they had put up and erected, and cut down the groves, everything that represented idolatry, he got rid of. And that's wonderful. And he commanded the people, he's leading the people, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. Praise the Lord, this is good leadership, this is wonderful. And to do the law and the commandments. Praise the Lord, and yes, he took away all the cities of Judah, the high places, the images. He not only did it in Jerusalem, but he went about all the places in Judah and did so with those areas too, to get rid of all those things that were related to idolatry. And then because God was with him and God had given him rest, that means that there was no war during this period. All things were going pretty well. Then he had it in his heart to build cities and you know, to put up walls and towers and gates and bars and, you know, just do the things that, you know, would make them prosper. And it was because they had sought the Lord. You know, wonderful things happen when the heart is right with God. A lot of times, you know, there's trouble, there's conflicts. God trying to talk to that heart and trying to redirect a life and trying to get that individual to realize, hey, you know, you've got stuff in your life that needs to go. You need to get right with me. You're not right with me. You're going to stand before me one day and have to give an accounting, and you're not right. But, oh, they had sought the Lord, which was a wonderful thing at this point. And they had built and prospered. And he was also able to establish an army. It tells us in verse 8, "And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 204,000, All these were mighty men of valor. So he established, you know, a pretty good size army, I guess you could say. I mean, you know, these southern two tribes, you know, not real huge, you know, manpower to come, you know, to involve here. But, you know, you've got 300,000 men from Judah and 280,000 men from Benjamin. But oh my, in the midst of these peaceful times, all at once there's an agitator that comes into the scene and tells us in verse 9 all about this. It says, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,300 chariots and came unto Mareshah." And I'll tell you what, okay, here is Zerah the Ethiopian. And he may have actually been, you know, an Arabian, and then this may be, have been some kind of an Arabian invasion. It's not real clear, but he's got a big army. It's much bigger than what Judah has. He's got 1,000,000. That means he's got 1,000,000 men in his army. And, you know, that's quite a bit bigger. And besides, 300 chariots. And, you know, it came in, you know, to him to oppose them. Well, it tells us in verse 10 that Asa went out against him. And they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephelah and Mareshah. And this was a town in Judah. But oh my, you know, it was a little uneven. And, you know, they hadn't had to be involved in military actions for, you know, those 10 peaceful years. And oh my, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of experience, therefore, to draw from. So what did Asa do? It tells us in verse 11, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go out, we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee." Oh, he cried unto the Lord. And praise the Lord, you know, because he was doing the things that were right in the sight of God. He had God on his side. You know, that's a tremendous advantage. Oh, boy, listen, if God is your enemy, you know, you're in for some big shockers. That's for sure. But here it was, these people had gathered against him. And it was a huge army for those days. 1,000,000 men in that army and all those chariots. And he cried, oh, but you know, he knew something. He knew that with God, it really didn't matter if you were many or you were few. He knew that with God, if God was their strength and their help, that, you know, numbers would not make a difference. But so he cries out to the living God, and I believe he's given this over to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I love how it tells us in Zechariah, the 4th chapter, verse 6, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, yes, we don't have to look on to the carnal side, you know. Even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Oh, yes, because, you know, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise the Lord. Just as Asa could rest in the Lord, we too know that our strength doesn't come because of man's power or man's ability or because of weaponry or because of might, that kind of strength, because of numbers, nothing like that. And praise the Lord, Asa cried that cry out unto the Lord, that prayer. And praise the Lord heard that prayer that he cried out unto Almighty God. And God intervened. It tells us in verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asaph and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? Do we realize the value of having the Lord on our side? Oh, of having our lives straightened by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, so that we're not walking in sin, in error, in condemnation. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, yes, to have the Lord on our side. And praise the Lord smote those Ethiopians before Esau, before Judah, and they fled. They began running. And yes, the people of Judah pursued them. They pursued them unto Gerar, and these Ethiopians were overthrown in such a way that they could not recover, and they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. Oh, that's the work of the Lord. He's able to take our troubles, our trials, those things when it seems like everything is stacked against us, and you know, it can be all manner of things. You know, the devil is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he's going about as he's a crazy man, so to speak, with vengeance and with hatred for the people of God. But oh, our God is mighty. Oh, to the pulling down of strongholds. There is nothing too hard for our God. Oh, with the help of the Lord, we are able to stand and prevail against the host of enemy, against the evil ones that might try to come against us in their various ways. Oh, I thank the Lord. God worked with the people of Judah on that day there, and they were able to overthrow them in such a way that they could not recover, and they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and oh, they gathered away very much spoil. It says, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities. And I can imagine when it says the fear of the Lord came upon them, all those that, you know, were gathered around them that did not fear God began to realize, hey, there is a God in Israel. I better watch out. I better get right. Oh, the Lord begins to use such things to our advantage. Oh, yes, and for his name's sake. Praise the Lord, so people can see and understand that there is a God. And oh, yes, there is a great need to bend the knee while there is yet time, to serve God while there is yet time, to make right with God while there is yet time. Amen. Yes, so they carried away exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord helped them. They were tremendously outnumbered. And you know, if you were just going to look at that, you know, you would think they wouldn't have had any hope in gaining victory. But oh, yes, they could, because God was with them, and God fought the battle for them. Oh, yes, so that they could do mighty things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so it is. We have that wonderful name, that name that is above every name, that name by which every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Oh, that day is coming upon us, and oh, we have such an advantage. Oh, and knowing that name. Oh, yes, how many times have we cried out? Have we cried out to the living God in a desperate moment? Oh, in a moment of great need. And oh, how he has helped us. how it has made a difference. I think we all could have testimonies of how, you know, we almost could have died. How, you know, that, you know, we almost had that car accident or, you know, whatever all. I always remember, you know, just years ago, my oldest daughter, Ruth, when she's just a little toddler and oh, wow, how is she? Was just kind of, you know, walking uneasily at that point, and somehow we were out on the front steps, and, you know, somehow she began to lose her balance, and I guess I wasn't holding on to her hand at the moment, and somehow she began to tumble down those cement steps. I can remember calling on that name of Jesus, and, you know, as it happened so quickly, it was like she didn't touch any of those steps. I just knew the angels of the Lord were there to pick her up, you know, to prevent her from dashing her foot against a stone, so to speak. She didn't hit that cement, and you know, she landed at the bottom, and she was okay. Praise the Lord, that's our God. But I remember calling out that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, that's all I could do at the moment, is to cry, Jesus. And praise the Lord, He was there. And so it is. We all have these wonderful stories when He comes to our rescue. And oh, it could have been so different. But oh, God intervened. And that saving name of the Lord saved us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the house of Judah had a great story to tell that day. How God had delivered them, how He had saved them, how He had fought the battle, and how they were able to go on and smite those Ethiopians before Esau and before Judah, and they had to flee. Praise the Lord, you know, those devils will flee when we call upon the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, we have authority if we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, if we've been, oh, He baptized His name, if we repented of our sins, praise the Lord, and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we have authority, praise the Lord, to call on that saving name and commanding that those devils would stop their monkey business. Oh, yes, they would flee. Oh, yes, that, oh, yes, all that would stop in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we have authority in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. We can just remember that. Oh, yes, because, again, if God be for us, who could be against us? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go into the next chapter, chapter 15 here of 2 Chronicles. As Esau was returning, there was a prophet of God that came out to meet him. And here's the story as we begin here with verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Esau and said unto him, Hear ye me, Esau, and all Judah and Benjamin? The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. And, you know, that's the way it is. The way of the transgressor is hard, the scripture tells us. And, you know, in these times when they were not serving God, oh, there were lots of conflicts. There were great vexations, disturbances, troubles, distresses that fell upon them. And all the inhabitants of the country, and, you know, battle after battle, nation destroyed of nation, city of city, because God, he did vex them, you know, he would that all men would repent and turn to him and seek his face. But you know, it's so hard to get people's attention. So often, you know, they seem to be doing their own thing, living their own way, serving those idols, having their own jolly time, doing things the way they want to do them, of their own selves. No, Ma, how is God going to get their attention? Yes, often He does allow trouble to come in, vexations, all kinds of adversity to try to, you know, get them to, you know, bend the knee and turn to the living God, get their heart right with God, repent, pour it out, get right with God. Oh, it didn't always happen. But thank God, here in this chapter that we just read, we see how God works with His people, with their hearts are right with Him. And so here, the prophet of the Lord, Azariah, he continues by saying, "Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Oh, these were encouraging words. Oh, Asa, king of Judah, heard these words. It tells us, verse 8, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord." Oh, the wonder of encouraging words. These words that were spoken by Azariah, the son of Oded, actually encourage Asa to do more, to do better. Oh, yes, to renew the altar of the Lord. And oh, yes, to get every little thing out that wasn't right. And you know, it's amazing. It tells us in verse 9, "And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." So, praise the Lord. You see what's happening here? Even some of those that were of the northern tribes of Israel, Simeon, Ephraim, and Manasseh are mentioned here. When they saw what God had done for Asa and how he was making things right, oh, the fear of the Lord fell upon them too. And they wanted to serve the Lord. They wanted to be right with God. It encouraged them too. And it says they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. Oh, what an encouraging thing, you know, just to go forward and to do the good work, to do the thing that God had put in the heart. Oh, you know, sometimes we've got things that we want to do. Sometimes we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk, or we think and we think and we don't do it. But oh, it's a wonderful thing when, you know, we can put words to action and go out and really do the work of the Lord. Oh, God is with his people, and God was with Asa. Oh, yes, and when he took courage and put away all the abominable idols and everything else that was, you know, contrary to the ways of God. Oh, look how the Lord blessed. Look how the Lord worked. Oh, it's phenomenal. Oh, he renewed the altar of the Lord so they had a place of prayer. And oh, yes, even those out of those 10 northern tribes began to come unto him. Oh, unto that place where they felt they could find the living God, where they could seek the face of God, where they could repent and turn from all those wicked, idolatrous ways. Oh, praise the Lord. So it tells us in verse 10, "So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep, the spoil that they had taken there from the Ethiopians. They offered a great deal of them unto the Lord. And they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem." Oh, it's time for a revival. It's time for them to enter into a covenant with the Lord. And that's what they do. It says in verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, as Jeremiah said, in the day that you seek me with all your heart, with all your soul, that's the day that I'll be found. You know, you want to find God? Hey, just don't make, you know, half motions. Do it with diligence. Do it with all your heart and with all your soul. Oh, make it, you know, your foremost purpose to serve the living God, to put Him first, to seek His kingdom above everything else. Oh, yes, that's the kind of heart that the Lord is looking for. A heart that is bent toward Him. A heart, oh, yes, that has repented of all the things in the life that were abominable in the sight of God. All the things that brought forth confusion and distress and put us in sin. All the compromising things and all the ways of the world. For yes, Jesus said no man could serve two masters. Oh, either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Oh, Jesus declared it, and He wants His people to seek the kingdom of God in all His righteousness, with a promise that all these things shall be added unto you. And praise the Lord, this day, these people that had gathered together at Jerusalem. Oh, yes, and it must have been a great crowd, and not just those from Judah and Benjamin, but oh, many from the northern tribes also came and joined them, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. They made this solemn promise. And they also said that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Whether small or great, whether man or woman, they really meant this. They really meant to see every heart and life turned over to the living God. It tells us in verse 14, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. It was a grand celebration. It was something they could do with great joy. Oh, with a loud voice and with shouting, and I can imagine with praising and, oh, you know, with worship, all the things that came with it. And it says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with their whole desire, and He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord also has promised rest for the children of God under the new covenant. Likewise, as, oh yes, Samuel has been teaching in the book of Hebrews, that fourth chapter, oh, it tells us about that rest that God has reserved for His people. Oh, this is a rest and this is a refreshing, as Joel spoke of it there in that second chapter of Joel. Oh, for with stammering lips and in other tongues will I speak to these people, saying, this is the rest wherewith the weary shall rest, and this is the refreshing. Oh, praise the Lord, there is a rest for our souls. Oh, yes, when we yield our hearts, our lives over to the living God, when we give Him all our being, not half-heartedly, but with all our soul, all our strength, all our might, all our mind, you know, our whole being, not reserving this little tidbit deep down inside our heart, but no, giving it all over to God. Oh, praise the Lord, that's when He pours out of His Spirit, Praise the Lord. That's when He brings forth the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And here, as you know, we're under the old covenant here in this book of Chronicles. But praise the Lord, we see how God gave them rest from their enemies there because they had done the things that pleased the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it tells us just a little more detail here, verse 16. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Now this couldn't have been easy. This was his mother. But because she was living in idolatry and obviously refused to reform and still had an idol in a grove, he dismissed her. He removed her from her position. And he took her idol and he stamped it. Oh, I'm just seeing he broke it to shreds so that there was nothing left. And then he burnt it at the brook Kidron. Praise the Lord. This is what he did because the zeal of the Lord of hosts was in his heart. He had determined in his heart that he was going to follow the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul. He was going to lead the people properly. And praise the Lord, they had made this covenant likewise. Praise the Lord. And he went on to do the things that were necessary to do to please the Lord. Tells us in verse 17, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel, the 10 northern tribes that would be. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days, and he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. God gave him another time of peace. But oh yes, if we can compare this to the spiritual. Oh yes, when we put away sin from our lives. When we put away things that are abominable in the sight of God. When we get rid of all the things that are idolatrous, you know, even customs that pertain to idolatry, Christmas and Easter and Valentine's Day and, you know, all the pagan things that people do and, you know, stop, you know, joining in on other things that are not of God and are not right in the sight of God. Oh, it makes a difference in our lives. And when we clean house, we purge our lives of the things that God hates, that are abominable in His sight. I thank God that we have opportunity at this point to examine ourselves. And to make sure that, you know, we're walking in faith. We're walking in the faith. We're doing the will of God. You know, we've got the words of life. And you know, sometimes there might be things that really haven't dawned on us that really don't please the Lord. And, you know, it can be a wake-up call. And so it is. You know, there's a lot of these sort of things in our lives because we're going on to perfection by the grace and mercy of God. If we're really trying to serve the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul, with all our might and with all our strength, and we're, you know, loving the Lord with all our heart, oh, praise the Lord, the difference that it makes. But the beauty of it is God is with His people. God walks with His people. God knows how to keep His people. And it tells us in Psalms 91, all the great privileges we have in the Lord Jesus. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Verse 3 tells us here, Psalms 91, Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. All those things that try to come against us, oppose us in all kind of ways. You know, the Lord is reassuring us that He will deliver His children from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, all these things that come upon us in this world. It says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. See the safety, the provisions that we have in the Lord Jesus? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Oh, the Lord knows how to preserve His people, how to keep His people, and we don't have to live in fear. Oh, there's no reason for us to live in fear when the Lord is with us, when the Lord's army encamps round about His people, because we have made the Lord our refuge. And it says, even the Most High thy habitation. Oh, verse 9, I better read it again. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, thy dwelling place. Oh, yes, our life is yielded to God. And we're living with God, in God, so to speak. He's our dwelling place. He's our habitation. And we walk with Him. We talk with Him. We pray with Him. You know, our life is given unto Him. And praise the Lord, His promises are so mighty because we have made Him our refuge. Oh, that place of safety. We don't have to fear all the thousands that, you know, might be opposing and causing destruction. Oh, yes, not when we have made the Most High our habitation, our dwelling place. It says, There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy arm. They shall bear thee up in their arm, in their hands rather, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Praise the Lord, oh, the army of the Lord that encamps around His children. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Oh, you know, we can come against the cohorts of the enemy, the cohorts of the devil. We can trample them in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Oh, praise the Lord. We are so privileged to know that saving name of the Lord. As we've already said, oh, how many times have we cried out that wonderful saving name, the Lord Jesus, and been mightily delivered. Oh, praise the Lord, because He hath known my name, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, the privileges and the promises. Oh, yes, that God has given to His children. Oh, yes, that seek Him with all their heart. that yield their lives over to the living God. Oh, yes, and allow the Lord to rule and reign in one's life. Praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful privileges we have because we have made the Lord our refuge, our habitation, our dwelling place. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are so privileged. And you know, it was a wonderful thing there in Judah. They who sought the Lord with all their heart and gave everything over to the desire of God. Oh, praise the Lord. God was found at them and God gave them rest. And praise the Lord, there is yet a rest unto the children of God. Oh, yes, there is a rest for the people of God when we rest in Him and let Him fight our battles for us. When we give everything over to Him and, you know, let Him take the fear, let Him take the dread. You know, we sanctify the Lord of hosts. Let Him be our fear. Let Him be our dread. He knows how to keep us. He knows how to hold us tight. He knows how to give us His favor and how to preserve us in this world. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, to give us life everlasting. Oh, it's such a wonderful privilege. Asa discovered, oh, yes, the might and the wonder of giving everything over to the living God. And indeed, as it was time to seek the Lord back there in the days of Asa, it is time to seek the Lord right now. Amen. We know that it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Amen. It is time to seek the Lord, to draw nigh to Him, to get everything right with the Almighty God, so that one day we will not be ashamed when we stand before Him and we have those reassurances that He is with us and He is there to preserve us and to fight our battles for us, to give us favor. Oh, yes, and to bring us through this world and help us to overcome. Praise the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our minds, with all our strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Draw us close to Thee, Lord. Talk to our hearts. Oh, God, we give it all over to Thee, Lord. We ask You to rule and reign in our lives. Oh, God, and oh, God, to be our dwelling place, to be our refuge. Oh, God, to be our place of rest. Oh, Lord, we pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Time to seek the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. We are going to open our chorus books in closing and turn to number 25 and sing Let Go and Let God Have His Way, number 25. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, for night turn today. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His way. Let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish. Your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go. God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish. Your night turn to day. Let go and let His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. God have His way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.